Hello and welcome to the Gamers Health Podcast. Yes, it's a Friday night, and that means Rach and I, Eric Sankar, are doing our Gamers Health Podcast. So welcome to our little bit of sharing with you. So this week, we're going to touch on a couple of maybe not so usual topics for us, going maybe a little bit off the beaten track. I'm going to touch on COVID because the vaccine is out, right? People are making appointments or canceling appointments, depending on how the case may be. But my parents are scheduled for next Thursday. They were in that initial group of 75 or older, but then the CDC changed it to be 65 and older. Now, I supposedly New York State has like the next 14 weeks of COVID vaccinations booked, assuming that there's no increase in the release of the COVID vaccine. I don't know where you live. I don't know what health challenges that you might face. I have congestive heart failure, type 2 diabetes. I am moderately obese, so I have my issues. So I am pretty much quarantining. But maybe you have older relatives, parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents that qualify for the shot. Make sure they register for it. All right. I'm not usually one to tell you what to do, but herd immunity is a thing. And the more people we protect, the sooner this herd immunity starts to take place. But not only that, it'll start lowering the opportunity of you getting a virus if those around you are protected from it.
It's so, kind of an agreement we all make.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean...
To keep each other safe, including ourselves.
Right. And listen, you have to take care of yourself so you can take care of others. But sometimes taking care of yourself means taking care of others, right? So, check it out.
Because at the end of the day, we're all interconnected.
Yeah. You know, and let's be honest, you know... Is COVID extremely lethal if you're healthy? No. Is it fairly potentially lethal if you have a lot of health conditions?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you need to protect those and have those health conditions that are in your circle. Yeah. We all have our circles, family, friends, community. You got to protect it. All right. So maybe I won't do the use your common sense speech at the end of this podcast when it comes to COVID. We pretty much covered that, right? All right. We'll step away from COVID for the moment. On now, something completely different, as they might say on Monty Python.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Rich and I ordered, was it the Stuffler?
Yes, the Presto Stuffler.
It is a
stuff. We might have talked a little bit about it.
I think
last
we did.
Time.
We hadn't done much with it. Well, you know what? We've done a lot more with it.
Mm.
And it is effing awesome. Now, for the most part, I've been using carb quick flour with it to make the waffle batter. And I have a recipe I found online that pretty much just makes two stuffed waffles. It's perfect for Rach and I. And we have done it as a dessert with berries.
Mm-hmm. That's the best.
But we've also done it as a meal. Today, well, yesterday we made it as with like a spinach pizza filling with shredded mozz and spinach, or just the other day before, and spinach.
Yeah.
And tomato, maybe the day before, and tomato sauce. And into the batter, instead of adding sweetener, I added some Italian seasoning. Spot on. Today, I use the same type of batter. I use fresh mozzarella. I use some chicken sausage cut up. I would say it was spot on. Oh, my God. It almost reminded me a little bit of a calzone, that nice stringy cheese coming out and the sausage in that pocket. Mm. I'm actually tempted to make a blueberry stuff one tonight. Yeah, I'm getting very really hungry talking about that. Just
put cinnamon in it.
Yeah.
All sorts of yummy.
There's a lot you can do with it. It's mm-hmm. a very versatile thing. Now what we're going to try to check into is making truffles, right? I'm pronouncing that right.
Truffle.
Mm-hmm. Not using the stuffed waffle maker. I think it's too big. But using our little...
The little baby one little, that like, we got.
You know, $12 waffle maker. Make these individual waffles. So we can make some low-carb waffles that we can use as sandwiches or as bread, maybe the turkey burgers with a truffle bun. So just, you have to continually change your menu around if you are trying to stick to any sort of diet. Once you...
Not only will your body get used to it and, you know, not be... not fooled, but you know, your body will adapt, I guess, to say
yes.
to it. But not just that, like mentally, you know, sometimes we just get bored. So,
and what's the worst thing when it comes to food, especially when you're trying to keep yourself from eating foods that are not good for you?
Yeah.
Remember, I am a type 2 diabetic. I've knocked about 3 points off my A1C by changing my diet around. And by the way, adding an exercise routine. Now, what is my exercise routine?
Oh,
my exercise yeah. routine is, was it fitness and rhythm boxing 2 on the Nintendo
Switch?
Is
that what it's called?
Something like that.
Oh,
and it's a boxing game that uses the Switch controllers as motion sensors. And I'll be honest with you now, this is the first time I've actually done, like, I think 2 days back to back in like 2 weeks. A lot of times I'll do like a 28 minute workout and then I'll take 2 days off. So now what I'm trying to do is I want to alternate a 28 minute workout and an 18 minute workout. And I'll tell you right now, my arms, I can see and I can feel the difference in the muscle, the muscles in my biceps and even my triceps.
We're both sitting here,
yeah, flexing.
And I'm like, yeah, those down dogs have to be doing some good stuff because yeah. there's a lot of weight for this pushing up here.
The yoga stuff, but it's you know, when you gamify exercise, it's good because it doesn't become boring. And I think that's one of the worst things that can happen with something that's like exercise. It's boring. I like my walks, but I don't like walking by myself, right? I like mm-hmm. walking with Rach because we talk. And then you go, holy shit, we just walked for 40 minutes. That's what you need to do. That's the specialness that we're
And the dog likes to lead the way.
So. Well, that too. So,
and that makes it fun just to see where she's going to go or to like give her an instruction and see if she's able to...
Yeah.
Put it together and follow it.
Yeah, a lot of times she knows destinations. She's pretty funny about that.
Uh-huh.
But folks, I mean, that is, again, the key to exercise is keeping things fresh. You get into a routine, and some people go, well, routines are great. Well, they can be good, but they can be boring. And once they become boring, you don't want to do them again. So.
Well, the routines are good, you know, like just to be able to set aside time for
it. Yes.
But to mix it up, you know, so like, you know, if you're into yoga, take many different teachers or many different, like types of classes, you know, like, you know, you could take, well, you know, like a gentler class if you're not feeling so well that day, or, you know, a power class if you feel like a challenge, you know, things like that. There's a lot of different things that you can do. Just like other exercises, you know, like right. the boxing, the walking, the bike, all of this stuff.
Now, Rach, you brought up yoga. You had your yoga training tonight. Again, uh-huh. world of COVID, so Rach is doing this all by Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going for a 500-hour yoga instructor training. She already has a 200 hours down.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this before the podcast. So
mm-hmm.
what did we touch on?
So there's a concept, like, we read a book called, Pilgrims to Openness by Shambhavi Sarasvati. And, you know, it's she's an American spiritual teacher. And one of the concepts in her book was about the fact that at any given time, we are doing the best we can, you know, as people. And so the way that I take that is sort of like we're doing the best we can with what we have. It also kind of relates to a DBT, like a dialectical behavioral therapy component. It's like a CBT kind of thing like that, you know, to remember that, you know, really we're trying to do the best we can with what we have. Sometimes from the outside or sometimes in hindsight, we don't always see that. But at the end of the day, we're trying to make ourselves feel better. Sometimes that comes through in, you know, certain attachments that we have, like to food or sexual acting out or alcohol, whatever, you know. But really that, you know, the positive part is that we're trying to do what we can to, like, give ourselves some type of mercy or, you know, grace or some way of feeling better. So, you know, just sometimes it's separating from some of those attachments or working on those attachments and having that better feeling come from other things, like, you know, spiritual practices, right, or exercise, self-care, because, right, self-care is something that is spiritual too. Like if we, you know, take care of our body, like one of the tenets in our religion, in Catholicism, is, right, that you don't want to destroy God's works.
Right.
And so
the body is just the body is a temple.
Right, you know, and so you don't want to destroy those things through, you know, by engaging in certain things or having certain imbalances, you know, in how we, you know, either find numbing in something or how we find comfort or whatever, you know, and then also like being able to take care of it with nourishing things.
Right. Yeah. And something else, folks, that I think is adjacent to this. A lot of this is that you have to look at yourself and you have to, a lot of times, be your own critic. This is what I've learned. Maybe it's about, in reference to myself, but I'm sure it applies to others. We are our own worst critic, which means if we take a look at ourselves and evaluate ourselves honestly, we will find faults that others will not find, and we will accentuate faults that others don't accentuate. However, that being said, we tend not to want to critique ourselves, right? Because we don't want to find this stuff. So instead, we walk away from it, or we pretend it didn't happen, or we ignore it. Sometimes you have to evaluate yourself and you got to say, honestly, what do I need to improve? For me, I still need to lose weight. I need to find more ways to burn calories and exercise. I need ways to be more productive with producing gaming material. You know, these are things that I need to do. I can't spend my whole day watching stupid YouTube videos. Very tempting, though, right? Or maybe you're watching this on YouTube.
Well, maybe too. Like some of the YouTube things are okay, right? Right. Like
everything in moderation.
In moderation, and then also it's like, you know, we want to be able to like look at ourselves and understand better. But you know, sometimes the universe, whatever it is, doesn't. We don't always see everything.
Right.
So, you know, when we do see something, being able to be curious about it, hold on to it, and like really, you know, try to look at it so that it doesn't like run back under
me
unconscious again, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to ignore your faults, but believe it or not, it's even easier to critique them. But you got to find a place in between, which is to critique your faults honestly, not to accentuate the faults when you critique them. Well, you don't want to. That's why a lot of us don't want to critique ourselves, right? It's like, oh, I don't want to go on it. I'm going to avoid going on that scale because I know it's going to be a bad number.
Oh,
but if I don't see the bad number, it doesn't exist, right? And I can still go in the back of my head. Oh, well, I know I must weigh like X or Y. No, you probably don't.
There's other knowing that kind of crashes that down.
Right.
When we go to zip our jeans.
Yeah. So, I mean, folks, I said this before, Rach has, there's only one you. You have to take care of you. You can't take care of others in your circle, in your life, without taking care of you. And a lot of times that means you got to do an honest evaluation. And I'm not saying I'm going to sit down and review all my faults. No. Say, listen, all right, I'm going to sit down right now.
You're not doing a searching and fearless moral inventory.
No.
Right now.
But you're going to say, all right.
Not that you need to, but yeah.
No, but you're going to say maybe like, all right, what emotional baggage have I not let go of?
Right, or when the universe is trying to show us something.
Yes. Let it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes
take the lead. Let it take the lead.
Right.
Observe. You know.
I mean, I'll be the first person to admit, and Rach has seen the change with me over the years. When I was an active police sergeant, when I was working, I was very skilled, and this was a necessary skill. I'm not saying it's a good skill, but I was very skilled at taking emotions and a lot of stressors and just taking them and filing them away for later. It's not healthy, but it was necessary. Now I am retired. Do I do a lot of that same stuff, Rach, anymore? Or am I more open to...
You're definitely more open to your emotions.
So...
You experience them now.
Yeah. And it's not a... It can be a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you take things and you push them aside and then you pull them out like a year later, a lot of times they're blunted, but a lot of times also the fact that you've bottled up a year's worth can really impact you. Dealing with them in near to real time is a different experience, but it's probably healthier. So again, that was me evaluating myself. I knew when I was retiring what I had done when I was working. And will that still kick in if my survival instincts need it? Yes. I damn well know for sure if there's an emergency in a household and it's not involving me, I'm sure it will kick in so I can do what needs to get done and I'll deal with it later. Mm-hmm. But then it's being more used as a skill, whereas before it was a misused skill to a large extent. All right, folks. Well, like I said, we're not going to whack you over the head again with COVID. But
We already did that.
But seriously, we want you to be healthy emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. This is all important to us, okay? It's all important to you. It's important to people that love you and care about you. So if you ever need a reason to take care of yourself, think about the people who care about you. Why put it on them? Do the work that they would do for you.
Mm.
Take that stress off them.
I like that.
Really?
Yeah.
You have people that care about you and love you, and that would be like, if I could, I would, you know, I would do all the work to make so-and-so lose 30 pounds. If I could do I would do the effort. If they had the results, we know what, they can't do that. But maybe you should put in the effort and lose 10 pounds. You know? It all starts with single step. Single step, folks. Be safe, be well, God bless each and every one of you. Roll those dice. What's that?
Keep stepping.
Keep stepping. Keep stepping. Don't step in that dog shit. And God willing. Well, actually, I know I'll be talking with you tomorrow because Glenn Hallstrom and myself, we recorded Dungeons, Dragons, and Discourse earlier tonight. That'll be up tomorrow on the podcast. Folks, as always, thank you. Laters.